From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Thousands remain displaced in Santa Rosa, where uncontained wildfires continue to threaten homes and businesses and force new evacuations. Entire city neighborhoods, including Coffee Park and Fountain Grove, have been flattened. Two major hospitals are closed, and today the area is recording the dirtiest air in its history. We'll talk to Santa Rosa officials and residents about how they are coping with the fires, and we want to hear your thoughts, questions, and concerns about the unfolding crisis in the city. That's next, after the news. Welcome to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Hundreds of people in Sonoma County are unaccounted for as devastating wildfires continue to burn throughout the region. In Santa Rosa, one of the hardest hit areas in the county, almost half the city is under mandatory or advisory evacuation orders. And the fires have already destroyed entire city neighborhoods, including Coffee Park and Fountain Grove, and have dislocated thousands. This hour, we want to discuss the fire's catastrophic impact on Santa Rosa and its residents. Joining me first is Martin Espinoza. He's a reporter for the San Jose Press-Democrat. And welcome, Martin. Good to have you with us.
Hi. Hi. Actually, the Santa Rosa Press-Democrat.
Santa Rosa Press-Democrat. Thank you. Talk first, if you could, about power outages. What is the status at this point?
Well, we've got about 28 outages. I'm just familiar with what's going on here in Santa Rosa. We've got about 28 outages in Santa Rosa, affecting about 12,600 people, customers. Some of the hardest hit areas are the Larkfield, Wickiup, Marks West Springs neighborhood or area. That's about 2,500. Rincon Valley, where I live, has got about 3,800 people without power. Sonoma, 600. Kenwood, which was also hit hard, 1,400. And then another area, Annandale, near Annandale State Park and wonderful county park we have called Spring Lake. That's got about 40. In that area, has about 4,600 people without power.
Well,
and it's spotty in Rincon Valley where I live, but it's been like this since the wind started kicking up and just before the fires came storming in here.
Yeah, speaking of the wind, can you update us on the weather there?
Well, last night we were supposed to see some pretty significant gusts and winds kicking up, but it didn't happen, luckily. I think it's one of the reasons that a major portion of Rincon Valley was put under an advisory evacuation. And again, that's where I live. So I left my house last night with my son and my ex, and we moved over to a the JC area, but everybody here in the city is pretty much on edge. So those winds were supposed to be gusting 50 miles an hour, winds of 20 to 30 miles, but that was forecasted. It was more like 10 to 20, with a few gusts of 30, of up to 30. So it didn't happen the way that it was forecasted, which was a good thing. The thing that did happen was we got humidity dropping down to 15 to 25%, which means it's just drier out there, and so that can be problematic. We're supposed to see winds continue to decrease by tonight, down to like 5 to 10 miles an hour. Again, that's good. But then in Friday afternoon, it will start to pick up again, and it is forecast to kick up to 10 to 20.
Well, you mentioned that you left Lincoln Valley with your ex and your child in that neighborhood. A lot of these neighborhoods, in fact, there's a good deal of confusion. They're under advisory evaluation, which means they pretty much decide whether they want to evacuate, huh?
Yeah, that's when there's a mandatory, they come by or they'll issue it before. If they come by at all, I mean, when this happened, a lot of the homes in Fountain Grove and Coffee Park were there were people actually. Law enforcement was out there with bullhorns and on intercoms and sirens, telling people to get out now. You'd have people that would knock on your door and at the top of their lungs be screaming, "Get out now!" That's not what we're seeing right now. We're seeing a lot of precaution. We're seeing advisories that, you know, with no imminent danger at all. But it is, it's so, because of what we've seen, because of the destruction that we've seen, it's just unnerving. It's the anxiety is just really, really, really bad.
Let me say something about that, Martin, because the images are startling and are shocking and horrifying. I mean, it looks like Dresden after the bombing in Germany or something on that scale. And in fact, I would ask our listeners to go to our website, kqed.org, where we have available some film that was taken, believe it or not, of a U.S. postal truck that went into the area to deliver mail. Now, what you see is all this devastation and so many houses destroyed, but nevertheless, the mail truck was trying to do what postal people do, regardless of weather and so forth, deliver the mail, and regardless of what the catastrophe might be. But you just see the destruction, and it's shocking. In fact, you actually were a witness to the hospital evacuations. You had never seen anything quite like that before, had you?
Well, when I went out there after I evacuated my family, I came into the office because where we ended up going, my sister-in-law's house is pretty close here to the newsroom, and so then it was about 4:30 when I went out there, and so I got to see it when it was burning, and the places I went to were first I went to the hospital, and it was a mobile home park that was just completely engulfed and up in flames, and right next to the three-story parking lot at Kaiser Permanente Medical Center here in Santa Rosa, and I'd never seen anything like that. Just that kind of fire would be alone would be a front page story for us. That kind of devastation. But you could just see the embers flying over the freeway from going over to the west side of town. So then I hooked up with our photographer Kent Porter, who used to be a firefighter himself a long time ago, and we went into Coffee Park, and I have never seen anything like that. That was just I did some Facebook Live video of that, and it was heartbreaking to see that. I mean, that I think the New York Times did a story today with some satellite video footage.
Yeah, that's what I was alluding to. That satellite video is on our website. It was taken from a drone, in fact, or taken from drones. Martin, appreciate so much your being with us. Thank you for the excellent coverage. Martin Espinosa, again, is a reporter with the Santa Rosa Press-Democrat. And stay strong. Courage.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you. Let me bring Gabe Moline on. Gabe Moline, of course, is online editor for KQED Arts. He grew up and lives in Santa Rosa born and raised, and has said on the record that he knows every foot of Santa Rosa. This has been so heartbreaking, I know, for you and residents in that city with its great history and landmarks and so much being essentially destroyed in the wake of these terrible fires. Gabe, let me welcome you to the program.
Thanks, Michael.
I guess, first of all, your personal history. Your parents' home was okay, miraculously, but your childhood home was destroyed?
Yeah, I grew up in Larkfield on Angela Drive, which is right behind Cardinal Newman High School, which was badly damaged in this fire. And there was a satellite map came out yesterday where people can, you know, zoom in and see, you know, specific plots of land to see if they're still standing or not. It is gone. It's a house that my parents bought when I was very young. It was essentially a chicken coop that my dad, who is a carpenter, remodeled room by room and built into a functional house for us right along the creek that is completely destroyed. When I was a teenager, he built a new house up in Wickiup sort of on the lower part of the hills there. And much of Wickiup is completely gone. We were on edge all Monday with fingers crossed, hoping that it was still there. You know, he got the evacuation order, had 10 minutes to grab some things and get out. All of our childhood memories, all of our family history is in that house. Miraculously, it is still standing. There's destruction on all sides of it, and it's okay. That's a very familiar story for people up here, just right on the border of the devastation.
Well, you mentioned chicken coops and Fountain Grove. I think people have to realize that This fire knew no class. I mean, Fountain Grove, the wealthy area, was hit very hard. You have people in mobile homes hit very hard. A great mansion of one of the wealthiest developers in town, and Kmart. I mean, it's just a whole spectrum.
Absolutely. You know, there are so many prominent members of the community in Fountain Grove that have lost their home. Levi Liepheimer, the famous cyclist, Carissa Cruz, the president of Sonoma County Wine Growers, Ben Stone, the director of the Economic Board for the county, judges, the president of SSU, Judy Sakaki, Hugh Futrell is one of the biggest developers in town, Willie Tamayo, the vice president of La Tortilla Factory. You know, there's a lot of movers and shakers in Santa Rosa that, even as they're helping the community rebuild, have lost everything at their homes.
Yeah, it's now, been right devastating, absolutely devastating for people of every matter of wealth or social status or, for that matter, position and power. In fact, you went to the evacuation centers people finding it hard there to buy towels, so I think you went out and got people some towels. And didn't your dad say maybe Trump could appear and throw some paper towels?
My dad, amazingly, has had a sense of humor throughout this.
Well, that's great. I mean, that's really comforting to realize that you can keep the humor there.
You know, a lot of the evacuation centers aren't accepting donations anymore. I can tell people, you know, they don't need your used clothing. You know, they need new toiletries. They need respirator masks. The air is terrible up here. The N95, N100 respirator masks. We went to the fairgrounds and said, what do you need right now? They said, you know, we got a lot of people who need to take showers and we don't have any towels. So we went to a Walmart about 7 miles away and bought a bunch of toiletries and bought a bunch of new towels, brought them back. And, you know, there was a crowd of people there that just descended on them saying, thank you, we can finally take a shower. So I know a lot of people really want to help, and there's a lot of ways that are not helpful that you think might be. Probably the best way to help if you're not in the area and can't bring supplies here is there's a number of funds that have been set up. The city of Santa Rosa has an official fund that was set up by the chief financial officer through UCaring. There's another fund set up through Redwood Credit Union and the Press Democrat. And then the Redwood Empire Food Bank is just doing amazing work up here, and they are always accepting donations.
Well, it's great that your father could inject some humor into this, but there's a great deal of sadness, understandably, in the face of all this loss and devastation. You've got landmarks and community structures that have been destroyed. You've got homes that have been destroyed vastly throughout Santa Rosa. As I said, just go to our website and look at those drone photographs, and you'll be horrified, and your heart can break thinking about all the lives that have been had this devastating and profound impact. I'm also thinking about the fact that, in general, I'd like to hear what you have to say about this. When you first went home and you actually looked up at the sky was it looked like maybe Pearl Harbor or something. As things have looked and transpired, but it was like orange, wasn't it?
It was, I was coming back into town at around midnight, 1 in the morning. It looked gorgeous. It looked like the Northern Lights. And it also looked terrifying because I knew what it had to be. There's just no, Martin was right. The whole city is on edge and no one feels safe right now. We live close to downtown, which is relatively safe for sure. But there's no certainty at all. And especially over yesterday, a little bit of the day before, that terror and that uncertainty is giving way to complete sadness, because all of the news that's coming in is my friends' parents, people who've lost everything, people that I went to school with. I went to Mark West Elementary and Comstock Junior High, Piner High School. This is completely in the Coffee Park, you know, Larkfield, Mark West area. That's just my stomping ground. That's where I was raised. And even childhood friends' parents, yesterday we found out that a childhood friend's parents died. They lived at the top of Reebley Road and didn't make it out of their house alive. There's just no good news.
Well, and you're pessimistic, I know, about rebuilding, but you're going to stay.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Santa Rosa is just runs in my blood. It's my heart and soul. Yeah, I work at KQED, but I make the commute because I love this city. You know, I'm third generation here. My grandpa was a mailman. My dad was a carpenter and contractor, built a lot of the houses in Fountain Grove. I worked side by side with him shooting baseboard onto the houses that are no longer there. I've got so much history here. The people here are amazing. The people here have really come together over the last few days. I know that you hear that after every tragedy, but it's really, really true in Santa Rosa. The community spirit is really incredible.
And Gabe Moline with us, online editor for KQED Arts. And as you heard, he has not only grew up in Santa Rosa, but lives there and is going to stay there. Frida, Jabula Romero is with us in studio. She's a reporter for KQED News. Welcome, Frida.
Thank you, Michael.
Good to have you. And you've been talking to a lot of people who've been affected by the fires in Santa Rosa. In fact, I'm looking at a question here, just a kind of a broader question. I want to hear about some of the people you spoke to specifically. But one of our listeners says, I feel like through no fault of you that we hear a lot from folks who lost houses and are insured, but we are not hearing about lower income people, renters, or the uninsured. For homeowners, we lose all our property and memories, but may have enough resources to rebuild. What about those who are not so lucky?
That's right. Yeah, I've been at shelters in Marin County and in Santa Rosa on Monday and Wednesday this week. And a lot of people that I've spoken to are lower income workers, people that work in the agriculture industry, picking grapes, you know, for the wine, and people that work in construction. A lot of them Latinos, of course, because you have to remember in California, the workforce in agriculture is 71% Latino. And in construction, it's about, you know, more than 40%. So a lot of these workers are really worried that, you know, they're living paycheck to paycheck. They don't have insurance. They don't have any savings. And so they feel that if they lose their homes and their jobs, since a lot of the, you know, wineries are going up in flames and also hotels, other businesses where they may work, it's just going to be really hard for them to get back on their feet.
Well, you talked, I know, to a grape picker who's wanted to go back to work on Monday, but the winery had burned down.
That's right. That's right. Her name is Marisol Paniagua. She has lived in the Santa Rosa area for about 20 years. She's a mom of three. And the only thing left she has is a little bit of gas in her car. And that's it.
Now, there are also people who can't be found. I mean, didn't you talk to somebody who he has to wants to pay his workers? It was
right.
A hotel guy who the place
yeah,
had burned
so
down. He can't find the workers.
Exactly. You may have heard about it. It's the Fountain Grove Inn, it's in you know, it completely destroyed. And the manager Justin Heyman told me that all of their servers and computers burned down. It's kind of things you don't think about right away when you hear about these natural disasters. But so he can't. He doesn't know how to get in touch with his workers. He's having a hard time reaching the 100 employees of that hotel. And he told me he's going to have to make 100 calls eventually where he says, you know, they don't have a job anymore. And where can I send your last paycheck? And he himself is under evacuation orders, so under tremendous stress. So he said it's just going to be really tough the next couple of days.
You also talked to a hotel manager downtown, and there are a lot of evacuees there now.
The hotel
manager that
yes,
you spoke
yes, yes,
about,
yes. So I
mean, they've sort of been pouring into this place, yeah?
Yeah, so I went to La Rose in downtown Santa Rosa by the old railroad station, and he said all of the rooms were taken by evacuees, and the hotel has, you know, lowered their fares. But as I was, you know, standing there talking to him, he was telling people on the phone that there were no more rooms available. So a lot of people looking for a place to stay.
And what did you hear from these people? What did they have to say?
You mean evacuees at
yeah.
the hotel? I didn't speak with evacuees at the hotel, but the manager said a lot of them came from the Fountain Grove.
The Fountain Grove was a beautiful place. I mean, you look at it and it's pictures and all that ivy on it and so forth, and now it just completely burned out.
That's right, yes.
And talk about some of the other people you were able to speak with. There was an economic developer of the town?
Yeah, so it's funny. Gabe mentioned him. His name is Ben Stone, and I went to speak with him yesterday at his office. And he basically told me that, yes, a lot of places have burned down, a lot of wineries, hotels. We were talking about the impact of these fires in the tourism and agriculture industries. But he also made the point that most wineries are still standing, most hotels. And so he said the county is going to make a really big effort for sure to, tell people when the fires are over that it's okay to visit the area. This is these industries are about a third of the county's economy. And after that whole conversation, I asked him, how are you doing? You know, how's your home? And he told me that it burned down on Monday. But he was at the office working, you know, the day after.
Again, Farah Javola Romero is here with us in studio, and she's a reporter with KQED News. And Tara Scott is program director of the Santa Rosa Family Medicine Residency, who practices at Sutter Hospital and Santa Rosa Community Health Centers. She joins us, and we welcome you to the program. Tara Scott, good to have you.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you. And tell us, at this present time, I know Kaiser was shut down for a while, Sutter Hospital shut. What's going on?
Yeah, so both of those hospitals are closed and hopefully will be reopening in the next maybe 3 to 7 days, although there are a lot of things that have to happen to make those hospitals safe for patients to go back in. So we're kind of on standby. Sutter is expecting to be able to reopen for patient care in the middle of next week.
So only Memorial is open at this point?
Yeah, of our three hospitals in our town, only Memorial is currently functioning.
And what does this mean? I mean, particularly for patients and people who need emergency help?
Well, as you can imagine, Memorial Hospital has been quite overwhelmed in the last couple of days. Our small community hospital out in Sebastopol, Sonoma West, has seen more patient volume than it's ever seen. And so patients don't have a lot of places to go centrally in town in Santa Rosa other than Memorial. And many of their outpatient clinic sites are also down. So, there are many people in shelters, and my residency program has been a part of staffing those shelters day and night since the fire to make sure that we have some medical help on site that's not necessarily provided by any of the shelters who are opening. There's no requirement for medical care to be on site, but we're trying to provide that since so many people have been displaced and aren't able to get in touch with their provider or even have a hospital nearby they can
go
to.
I feel like you're scaling mountains all at the same time. Certainly my hat goes off to you and the others who are helping people medically. Can you stay with us, Tara? We're coming up on a break. I'd like you to stay
sure.
If you could. Tara Scott, again, mm-hmm. Program Director of Santa Rosa Family Medicine Residency and Practices at Sutter Hospital and Santa Rosa Community Health Centers. Our focus is on Santa Rosa, and we do want to hear from you. We're going to talk to the mayor when we return, and also Paul Lowenthal, who's assistant fire manager of the Santa Rosa Fire Department. But we would like to hear what your thoughts are, your concerns, especially here from Santa Rosa residents. You can join us at our toll-free number, 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. I'm Michael Krasny. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Uncontained wildfires continuing to threaten Santa Rosa have forced evacuations, and we're discussing the fire's catastrophic impact on Santa Rosa and its residents. The fires have already destroyed entire city neighborhoods, including Coffee Park and Fountain Grove. And Gay Moline is with us, online editor for KQED Arts, who grew up and lives in Santa Rosa. And Tara Scott is also with us, program director for the Santa Rosa Family Medicine Residency. We do welcome your involvement in the program. You can join us either by phone, the toll-free number, 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. Or email us, forum@kqed.org. Or go right to our website, which is kqed.org/forum, or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. And Tara Scott, a couple of things I'd like to sort of find out from you. One is just your general sense of being in Santa Rosa and working in Santa Rosa, I mean, and observing what's going on there.
Yeah,
I mean, we heard from Gabe Molina just about how sad things are. I mean, you get that same feeling? At the same time that people are coming together and acting, courageously.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I have a medical perspective on this. My team and I have been pretty much working night and day to staff the shelters and, you know, account for all of the people in our program, and then to put medical expertise in the places where they're needed most. And so in some ways, I have had the blessing of being so busy that I'm not able to take in all that's happening out there. We're dealing with the devastation in a way that feels like we're being helpful. We're putting help where it's needed. And I think for many of us who are kind of in the trenches, the processing is going to come later.
Well, we talked briefly with Farida Javula Romero about low-income people. Can you say something about really what the real challenges are there in terms of medical?
Yeah, so our patients at the Santa Rosa Community Health Centers are all vulnerable patients who either have no insurance or insured through programs like Medi-Cal. And so they already have limited access because of the, you know, all of the constraints for patients with Medi-Cal. Now, Vista was our largest clinic, and that clinic is standing, but pretty significantly damaged and will need to be rebuilt. So a really large part of the capacity for us to care for patients in an outpatient setting has been wiped out. And we're actively thinking about how we can replace some of that capacity. After the immediate needs are over, people are going to need to go back to caring for chronic conditions and minor acute problems and need to have a primary health home. And about 20,000 patients in our health center have just lost their health home.
And can you say anything about undocumented people? And I was reading about a woman who would not leave her home because she was, and the home was on fire, fearful because she was undocumented.
Can you repeat that? I'm on a cell phone. And
oh, I'm sorry. I'm just wondering if there was anything you could tell us about undocumented people. I mean, are they also coming for help?
Yeah, although we are getting reports that people are reluctant to evacuate because they're concerned that if they're undocumented and they have to go and check in a shelter, that they may be authorities. So we're encouraging people to go to the shelters. The shelters are not interested in whether people are documented. We're just trying to care for people and their immediate needs. So we're trying to get that word out.
Yeah, I'm glad you did get that word out. Tara Scott, again, Program Director of the Santa Rosa Family Medicine Residency, and Gabe Moline is our online editor at KQED Arts. Gabe, I wonder if you could answer some questions that are coming in here. Wendy wants to know, can you tell us about the newly built community for LGBT seniors that was in Fountain Grove? Is that totally destroyed? Did the seniors get out? Fountain Grove has a history as a utopian community. How sad that this would be its end.
You know, I should know the answer to that. That is the lodge that was built by Bill Gallagher a few years ago. There's also another large retirement community up there called Verena that was built in about 2009, 2010. I'm sorry, I don't know the status.
That's okay.
Of
we'll try to find out. We don't expect you to be up on all this. You're the arts guy, and you're the guy who is going through this terrible experience as a resident, a lifetime resident of Santa Rosa. Somebody else wants to know if there are any update on animals at Safari West, and we'll try to see what we can find out about that, because yesterday there was an article saying they had saved the park. That was over 24 hours ago, and they didn't evacuate. There are about 1,000 animals, and the fire continues to burn. We're going to go to your calls, and let me begin with a caller from Santa Rosa. Steve, join us. You're on the air.
Good morning. Thank you for doing this program. I have a question about airborne toxins, specifically up on the Fountain Grove Boulevard area. Hewlett-Packard had a plant up there quite a few years ago, and now it's called, I believe, Keysight Technologies. And I know at that time when Hewlett-Packard had that plant up there that there were quite a bit of hazardous waste stored there. And I don't know how much exactly, but it was a number of dozens of barrels, actually. I wonder, I heard that that particular industry up there at Keysight, I believe it's called, was hit pretty hard by the fire, and later that was contradicted by a different media report from Keysight itself, I believe. So I'm just wondering About these airborne toxins that might be beyond just the level of, carbon and ash from, burning trees and so on.
Steve, I appreciate the question. We're going to have Paul Lowenthal with us, the Assistant Fire Marshal of Santa Rosa Fire Department. We're going to connect with him in about 10 minutes or so. I'll save your question for when he's aboard here, and I thank you for it. In the meantime, let me go to some more callers, getting some advice from callers and also some concerns. And let's go next to actually a caller in Sunnyvale. Deepak, you're on the air.
Hi, Michael. I've been listening to the last couple of days on forums where people are calling in and they're talking about not having relevant information. Specifically, a friend of mine in Sonoma woke up at like 1 a.m. on Monday morning to check the status of fires. She checked TV stations, social media websites, news websites. She could not find relevant information at all to plan her next steps. Finally, she, along with her children, were able to tap into a scanner to listen to a two-way radio from first responders. We have an app called 4Alert, developed here in Sunnyvale, that is exactly designed for, facilitating two-way communication with 3D geofencing. Yesterday, there was a caller, Dawn, I believe, who was commenting about not having maps that showed directions for evacuees on which way to go in real time. We have this app that has a map overlay feature that shows danger and exit pathways.
That's called 4Alert, F-O-R-E, is that right?
Yes, it's F-O-R-E, Alert, A-L-E-R-T. And this is on both Android and the iOS store.
All right. So, I thank you for that. Appreciate hearing from you and getting that suggestion. And we're going to maybe get an answer to that other question that came up from Ted Goldberg, who's back with us now here in studio. Ted, welcome back.
Thank you.
And the listener wanted to know, I said we could ask Paul Lowenthal when he joins us, the assistant fire marshal up in Santa Rosa, but airborne toxics?
From the fire or from the flame retardants, you mean?
Yeah, right.
I don't have the answer to that. I remember there was a time, maybe it was a few months ago, where all of a sudden and I think it might have been somewhere up in the North Bay, there was a whole bunch of that yellow fire retardant that fell from the sky accidentally. And officials then had said, do not worry. This is, not problematic for your health. But I don't know if that's the same kind of chemicals that they're using in the firefight, currently in the North Bay.
And again, take over. Is morning editor of KQED News. How can we help first responders? Zoe wants to know, what do they need and how can we deliver it to them?
That's a really good question. I had been in touch with Cal Fire spokeswoman who has been representing the agency for a very long time and, trading information, getting information from her in real time. And, she said, I live up there. I live in Napa. My family lives in Napa. There, she had relatives that, had to evacuate. I've seen stories of other sort of local fire officials, even folks from San Francisco who live up there, whose homes have burned. This is a community in struggle right now, and I think that it's going to be, they're not going to have a chance to rest for a long time, and I think that some of their wounds they haven't even been able to sort of address yet.
And again, I want to remind listeners that you can find KQED's ongoing coverage of the fires at kqed.org/wildfires. A listener tweets, where is FEMA? If not them, whose responsibility is near-term disaster relief? Ted?
Well, during yesterday's California OES official did speak, during the press conference. I know that they have awarded some grants to the state of California. They did talk about some of their involvement. I think we'll be hearing from them later in the program. So I think that they are beginning to get the process of having some involvement in the rescue and recovery work. I don't know how extensive it'll be, and I think we'll probably learn that in the coming days.
And again, you can join us. We invite you to join us with your calls, especially people from Santa Rosa, since a lot of our focus this hour is on Santa Rosa. Toll-free number is 866-733-6786 or email forum at kqed.org or go right to our website, kqed.org/forum. Margarita joins us. Margarita, welcome. Margarita, are you there? One more time. Actually, she wanted to know about the homeless, where there's, I don't know, we somehow couldn't connect with her, or people who simply don't have any resources.
You know, one of my colleagues did get in touch with Catholic Charities, which I think does a bunch of advocacy for homeless people in the North Bay. I know that it was very difficult, you know, at the beginning to make sure that that, you know, members of that community and that population were getting the word about where the fires were. I know one of my other colleagues, John Sepulveda, who we spoke to earlier this morning, he had gone out and to, you know, seen a tent encampment, you know, not too far away from an evacuation area. I think this is a population that is going to be highly affected by these fires. There's already a housing crisis in the North Bay, and this is not going to make it any easier to find a home. You know, I think that over the next few weeks, we're going to have to figure out where homeless people, you know, who were in the fire zone went to. Did they go to the shelters or did they go somewhere else?
We should mention also, since you brought up Catholic Charities, that Santa Rosa does have an official fund, and I understand that a lot of that money is being forwarded from them into specific areas like helping those who need help. Let me bring some more callers on here. Let me go next to a caller in San Francisco. Adam, welcome.
Yes, welcome, Mark. Long-time listener, first time participant. I have an idea, which is like, you know, why we do not have like, you know, a selective service where like, you know, you train people from like 18 to 50 to like, you know, to help in this case, like, you know, they shouldn't be like, you know, in the front line since we have all these like, you know, excellent like fighter. They could just help in the back end, delivering water, like, you know, like boiling pipes, like use a stick just to kill, you know, the fire. Just imagine 400 million people. We can have just 100 like million people. They're ready, they're trained, like volunteer. As the, like, you know, like these days go when the fire goes on, they can just go like for one day and just like, you know, they will bring energy to the firefighters, like, you know, who get tired and exhausted by the time. So that's just like, you know, a thought which I have, which we should like, you know, think about, like, you know, how we like, you know, train like people, like just like, you know, to be like, you know, ready, trained, help in the front, like, you know, I mean, the front participants.
Well, there are volunteer fire forces. I mean, volunteer fire forces in almost every metropolitan area. And then, of course, the paid firefighters as well. I'm wondering, and let me go to you on this, Gabe Moline. Listener wants to know the state of the Oakmont neighborhood.
Oakmont is under a mandatory evacuation. There are houses that have been lost out there. In fact, First District Supervisor Susan Gorin lost her house in Oakmont. I don't have up-to-the-date information, but I know that there has been some damage there for sure. You know, I can address some of the questions that have been asked. Keysight Technologies up in Fountain Grove, the former Hewlett-Packard, appears to be largely okay. So as far as, you know, there.
That was that question about toxins again, yeah.
Toxins in the air, right. Yeah. As far as helping first responders, in Santa Rosa, the hub for first responders is the fire department on Sonoma Avenue. That's three blocks away from my house. They're accepting donations of Gatorade, non-perishable food, sandwiches, fresh fruit, bread, lunch meats, that sort of thing. Catholic Charities is on A Street near the Sonoma County Museum. They're one of the few places that are accepting material donations of toiletries, new toiletries, and don't forget tampons, diapers, toothpaste, deodorant, those sorts of things. Food, as far as people needing food, as far as people displaced, I walked around downtown yesterday. Beer Baron on the corner of 4th and Courthouse Square is giving out free food. Amy's Drive-Thru in Runner Park is giving away free food. The Mystic Theater in Petaluma. I went to El Capitan, one of my favorite taquerias, and they were filling up boxes full of free food. Lots of downtown Santa Rosa is closed. Almost everything is closed. You know, what's open is bars. The bars are full in downtown Santa Rosa.
Yeah, that's a very telling observation. And Stephanie says, a wonderful book was developed and distributed in response to the Oakland Hills fire, Emotional Recovery After Natural Disasters, How to Get Back to a Normal Life. It's very helpful in getting people back on their feet. Let me bring another caller on here, and that's you, Linda in Napa. Linda, hi.
Hi. My question is, our house is in downtown Napa, and we are going to evacuate because the air is so bad here, and we've got children. But the maps are not clear as to our best routes out of it. We're surrounded on three sides by major fires. How do we get better maps?
How do you get better maps? Indeed, this keeps coming up, Ted Goldberg. And some thoughts, some recommendations from you, perhaps?
Well, I was going to refer this to Gabe because I remember, you know, several reporters that we sent up to the area. We had them sort of get in touch with the CHP first to find out the best routes. You know, Gabe, how are you finding getting around with all of these road closures?
A knowledge of the back roads is really helpful. When we evacuated our house before dawn on Monday morning, we went out Highway 12 to Stony Point Road, to Llano Road, to Wright Road, to, you know, a lot of these back roads. Even the back roads were really full. Of course, that was at the height of the evacuations. But, you know, remarkably, the major roads, I think 29 through Napa, you might find that they're open at this point.
Well, actually, here's somebody on point here, Helen from Vallejo. Helen, also concerned about maps?
Yes, I heard there you can access a map online that shows the perimeter of the fires and that it's updated at 7 o'clock every night, but I don't know how to access it. The only information I have is with my friend said it's a Sonoma County Cubs fire. But it covers the whole part of California that's got fire.
Okay. Want to comment, Ted?
Well, you know, I think that's probably something we should run by some of the Sonoma County OES officials is how to get really good visual information to the residents in their county. I do want to mention one other thing about Sonoma County. A little while ago, they held a press conference. All morning long, we had been reporting that the death toll from all of the Northern California fires was 23. It is now 24. They added one more fatality in Sonoma County, and so just wanted to make sure you had that data point.
Yeah, thank you for that. And let me go to James next. James, thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
I'm a family nurse practitioner from Oregon, and I'm down here in Richmond, California, visiting some friends for the next few weeks. And I was just wondering from Tara Scott if there's any reciprocity I could come up and help for a few weeks, you know, treating patients.
Good of you to offer, Tara Scott. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we still had Tara with us, but apparently we don't. Actually, you can get in touch with her, and I recommend that you do that by contacting her at the Santa Rosa facility that she's with. I just want to get the name of that here, and can somebody put that on the screen for me so we can send that gentleman who's so generous? Yeah, Santa Rosa Medical Family Medicine Residence, Santa Rosa Family Medicine Residence, and that kind of generosity. I mean, somebody here from Oregon, you know, it's really heartening.
Indeed.
To hear. Let me get another caller on. We go to Mountain View next. Marie, you're on.
Hi. I work for a family that lives in Atherton, and they're just coordinating with somebody on next door that they're going to take the family of five into their guest house for an unlimited period of time. And I just think it'd be good if more people in the Bay Area could accommodate some of these people because the motels can't do it, and they're going to need places to go. And it's not the solution for everybody, for sure, but to the extent that we can ease the burden and provide a place, especially for families with children that, you know, have got to be just so terrorized by this whole thing, I think it's great.
All right, and I thank you for that. And now we're going to bring the mayor on. Chris Corsi is mayor of Santa Rosa. Good to have you with us, Mayor Corsi. Welcome.
Thank you.
Well, you've been speaking out particularly about the spirit and the courage and, again, the resilience of the people in your city. I know you feel a great deal of pride in that, and many do. But there's so much up ahead and so much to be sad about. And I'm wondering at this point, specifically about information, because some of what you've been speaking out about particularly has to do with the lack of information that you felt deprived of and really concerned about as mayor of the city.
Well, I said that 2 days ago on the first day of this incident, and things are getting better. I don't think that we're ever going to get to the point where all of us feel like we have all of the information that we need right now. We're used to instant communication in this day and age. And the fact is, it it's just not possible to communicate the changing circumstances of these fires that are around us. But I want to tell you, it's getting better. And I also, when I expressed my frustration on Monday about this, I also followed that up by saying I understand that this is a difficult situation. So, I'll just leave it at that.
Well, let me ask you, what do you say to these people now who have been displaced, who are desperate, who really have seen their city go up in flames and just burn and raise to the ground? I mean, just in terms of really, again, holding some reeds of hope in this.
Well, first of all, Santa Rosa still stands. We've got several neighborhoods that are devastated, but Santa Rosa has not burned to the ground. Portions of it have.
The whole neighborhoods have burned to the ground, though. It's been destroyed.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm just clarifying. I spent a lot of time in shelters talking to people the day before yesterday, and I told them, I can't give you the answers to the questions that you most want answered. Number one, is your house still standing? And number two, if it is, when can you get back to it? We are working on this. Cal Fire is the overall commander of this incident. They're working with the National Guard that had drones up yesterday doing some preliminary mapping of the devastated neighborhood so we can get an idea parcel by parcel of what's there and what's not. I just came from a briefing with Cal Fire. They are prioritizing some of the infrastructure that we've got, such as our two of our three major hospitals, trying to get those open before maybe some of the neighborhoods that have evacuation orders get open. I mean, we've got to do this with a triage approach. You may not be able to get back into your home tomorrow, but we're working to get you back there as soon as possible. It's more important right now that we have hospitals open than it is that we have some of these neighborhoods open. And that's, frankly, a harsh reality of this. But we need to have our medical resources available to the public.
Could you say something, Mayor Corsi, about the decision that was made on cell phone alert? We heard from Ted Goldberg earlier about it, and it was, decided that they wouldn't put out a major alert early on.
I'm not familiar with that situation.
Okay. At this point, what about communication? Can you say something generally about the communication lines? Have they been opened and reopened, and are you hopeful on that score?
I think I said that at the beginning, that I am hopeful. I feel like things are working better than they were working in the first 12 to 18 hours of this. They're working better today, and I expect and desire them to be working even better than today tomorrow.
Okay. Anything specifically about tomorrow? I mean, particularly since there's so much uncertainty about how the winds are going to blow.
Well, as you say, the weather is uncertain. The forecast at this point is, actually, I have it here on a piece of paper, but I don't have my glasses on. You can probably get
it. No, we've been talking about forecasting, but a lot is up in the air, so to speak, literally.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we got through last night okay. There were some predictions of higher winds. That did not happen down here in the lower elevations. I understand the winds were higher in the higher elevations on the northeast side of the fire around Mount St. Helena. But in Santa Rosa, things were okay. And they're okay this morning, as okay as we are in this new normal.
We'll continue to hope for the best. Mayor Corsi, thank you so much for joining us.
Okay, thank you.
That's Chris Corsi. He's mayor of Santa Rosa. And some comments from listeners. Robert writes, "We're all breathing the fumes from everything that is burning, roofing materials, polyester, carpeting, gasoline, oil, asbestos, mercury, TVs, and computers. This is not a forest fire. This is smoke from thousands of man-made structures. Imagine taking your own house and grinding it into the finest powder, burning it, and then breathing it. Everyone should look at this EPA air quality map, and you can find those maps," he says, "at airnow.gov. Ronnie writes, can the standardizing of underground power lines mitigate fires like these, especially as rebuilding goes forward after these fires? These areas should not have above-ground power lines replaced as before. And we talked about this yesterday, Ted Goldberg, and the sort of deduction or assumption is the cost would be almost impossible.
Yeah, that's true. You know, on the issue of how far away a power line should be from a tree or a branch, one of my colleagues, Peter John Schuller, one of our reporters here, spoke to State Senator Jerry Hill, who's been sort of a big, as you know, critic of PG&E. And he says, you know, they need to do a, if this is all true, that, you know, the power lines fell to the ground and that's what caused some of these fires in Sonoma County, then, you know, PG&E hasn't learned the lessons from San Bruno, which is a pretty severe accusation. But, you know, it does call into question, you know, the desire here for maybe some change in the way that we regulate power lines that are above ground in California.
And a listener named Christopher wants to know, why isn't San Francisco coordinating supplies up to Santa Rosa as a city instead of tons of individuals bringing stuff up in cars? The city could easily coordinate trucks of needed supplies going up. Seems crazy.
Well, I do know that the San Francisco Fire Department and the San Francisco Police Department have gone up there. I don't know. It's an interesting idea sort of to bring up, you know, different supplies just for civilians. I think that's actually, you know, quite a good idea. But I know that, you know, in the hours after this fire first was reported, San Francisco Fire was up there with trucks and engines and a lot of ambulances as well.
Ted Goldberg, we thank you for doing big duty today. 2 hours with us. Appreciated. Ted Goldberg's morning editor, KQED News. Thanks, Gabe Moline, online editor for KQED Arts, who grew up and lives in Santa Rosa. Good to have had you with us. Gabe, good luck to you.
Thank you, Michael.
And thank you also to Tara Scott, Santa Rosa doctor, who spent time with us as well. And thank you, Tara Scott. Appreciate your time. Forum is produced by Judy Campbell, Irene Noguchi, Tina Lauberg, and Susan Britton. Senior editor is Dan Zoll. Our engineer is Danny Bringer. Our engagement producers are Amanda Stupai, and we get online support from Amanda Font. Our interns are Anna Sterla and Patrick Fitzgerald. Managing editor is Ethan Lindsay. Executive producer, Holly Kernan. We are going to continue this discussion about the wildfires. Stay tuned.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.